whether it's the accumulation that should have different accumulation to balance it, to judge. Because one would say, oh, it is nature, that's all. But the nature also can be remedied by collecting or accumulating other kind of accumulation. To be done wisely too.
Yeah.
And this is the point that some people neglect, because he or she has the good intention, so he or she thinks that, oh, this is the best way to do for a good thing, but it can be done wiser or wisely.
Right. Yeah.
But if one thinks that, oh, this is the best thing, that is the wisest thing, then it cannot be corrected or it cannot be remedied. One will follow one strain all the time by thinking that that is always the best. Yeah. So because I'm concerned for all our Dharma strengths, that's why I think that is there any way to
help
by Dharma, because
but also to help people, to help us understand our bad points or our accumulations better. This is what
it does not mean that we don't see the generosity and the love. We all like them and love them in many aspects. But when we think of something that is accumulated and we don't want that to be accumulated on further, then we better do something to help. And we are trying and we have to do it wisely so that it will work. Otherwise, it will not work. I know that only Dharma can help, nothing can help at all. And so I'm glad that he paid more attention to Pali term like Kusala, Kusala, and Jitta, and Chetasika more than usual, because I heard him talk with the newcomer like his model about Kusala, Jitta, Kusala, and Jitta, and Chetasika more than before. Otherwise, he'll keep on only the six doorways and only awareness. And doesn't bring more understanding because of the lack of the details.
I used to, when I first met Khonsu Chun and I stayed with her, I used to, if she'd say, oh, how is so and so, and I'd say, oh, she's fine and she's wonderful and she's so good and so nice and she has so much understanding, and Khonsu Chun said to me, Sarah, you're not, this is not realistic, this is not understanding Dharma. This is, but I thought, oh, it's good to only say good and positive things. Yeah. And she said, but this is not realistic. You're not a good friend if you speak like this. If you're a good friend, you can see the good and bad points and try to help the bad points. This is the real, the realistic way. You are so, she said, oh, you're such an optimist. Because I say, oh, I'm sure they're understanding and I'm sure they're getting on fine and I'm sure. And she said, no, this is optimistic. This is not realistic.
Some difficult experience, for example, after my father died, or in one's work, one's had some difficult times, and afterwards one can have a lot of nightmares, or we call it the Sunday disease, you feel fine all the time, you keep going, and then when you stop, it can be a condition for, is it just because it's a condition for a lot of strong dosa that conditions these bad dreams?
I better not talk about any special event. But one know that jitta arise and falls away in succession depending on conditions. That solves every event. alternative for depression anytime if one would like to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can always find an object. We have accumulated dosa.
Mm-hmm. So, Just finding an object for dosa.
Yeah, I too. I worry about something or something which happened and I keep on thinking of it that it is unpleasant. And I know it's my own dosa and my mana, my conceit, lack of humbleness. Why is he or she treating me that way? It comes up.
Especially the clinging to the self, the idea of self is there. Not just a reality, that sometimes there are conditions for a wholesome moment, and sometimes there are conditions for a wholesome moment. That's all. Mm-hmm. The more one has less clinging, the more one can see clearer and clearer. That nothing can be controlled.
Yeah, you like to control it. I don't like those thoughts, and I like to have kusala chitta.
You want yourself to be like this and like that because of the clinging to the self.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But there are all akusala realities, jetasikas, and kusala jetasikas. So it depends on conditions when which one will arise.
You want to be like this or that, or like this. You want to be able to do things that maybe you can't do anymore. So you want to be able to hear or join in the discussion, but maybe there are no conditions for it. Just all aspects of clinging to self.
When the regret and aversion arises about things that have passed, depression, is there not some way of cutting it?
I think that the best thing is to have understanding of reality, is that they are not self at all. They do not belong to anyone. Otherwise, one keep on regretting. One cannot do anything about the realities which had gone. But the moment when there is understanding, it can condition other moments of wholesomeness in the future. Or at the very present of understanding. So there is no clinging as I be like that, I am not be like that, I should be like that. Everything.
But the understanding is only intellectual for beginners.
That's why the...
So it's not enough.
The best solution is Satipatthana. The only one solution is Satipatthana.
That's a very, very long-term solution.
It can be.
Not a short-term fix.
It can be this moment. It can be this moment. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Satipatthana can be aware of any wholesome or unwholesome moment. Otherwise, one may think that Satipatthana will be aware just for wholesome moments. Mm-hmm. But in reality, even no matter how depression it is at that moment, Satipatthana can be aware and see as just a reality. So one has to go quite a long, long way, passing all the unwholesome realities and wholesome realities until one can be redeemed or...
So I suppose it's better if one remembers about this Satipatthana at ordinary, mundane moments. Mm. If we only think about it when we're overcome with aversion or something like that, of course, that's not necessarily the best conditions for the development. So if we can remember more often in ordinary, mundane moments.
Mm-hmm. But the ordinary, mundane moments are full of akusala chittas.
Yes.
So that must be the object of understanding. Yes. Otherwise, you regret all the time. Mm-hmm. No one can save you.
Okay, moments for Satipatthana.
Sure. But we tend not to remember so much about it, ordinary, mundane moments, because it's only when the dosa comes,
but dosa
or the strong attachment.
Also ordinary, mundane.
Yeah, all the time.
Those moments.
The stronger. Let's
How
say
can
we're
you say
overcome.
One moment is more mundane than the other.
We tend to want to deal with the very strong aversion or the very strong attachment or the aversion or attachment that we recognize as being less desirable. But there are many, many other moments in a day that we don't think we have any problem with. So we're not reminded about developing awareness at those moments.
What have you been talking about before?
We just arrived.
In the car.
But in the car we were talking about...
Problems and things like that and how to cope. We usually do, don't we?
Also, sometimes someone might think they may have, aversion, like in this situation, aversion about not being able to join in because they think it's inconsiderate or other people may be disappointed. So it seems that there is some kusala in between But on the other hand, it's like a justification for the dosa. Like one, sorry, one can't join the session because one knows other people may be disappointed, or one thinks other people may be disappointed. Of course, there are moments of dosa when one feels unhappy about it, but oh, also some moments of consideration or concern for the others.
I still don't think that that is kusala. Because it depends on you think with clinging, or you think with unpleasant feeling again. Well, when
you're afraid other people feel disappointed, so it's not really consideration.
If we stick to dana and sila and the calmness of mind and satipatthana, then we know when citta is kusala.
Yes, if it's really consideration for how others will feel at that time, then there's no feeling sad or unhappy at all.
And you said that you don't mind if people talk long and that it is Dhamma and you like to listen all day because it's listening to Dhamma. But I get sometimes I have lack of humility and humbleness because what do you get then? What do you do? I like to know how to be patient.
But how can you do? Can you do anything when it happens like that?
Nothing, no?
Nothing, so...
Yeah. Or you can take a leadership, but it's difficult to take leadership.
You could walk out?
Can one try to direct the discussion? I've been talking with Lodewijk about this subject.
Yeah, I have no future plan for anything. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I have future plan and when that time comes, it might not be like I planned.
Yeah.
So just let go and then... When you have conditions to do, to walk, to speak, then it
happens.
It happens.
But you are very patient listening because you said to us once, it's Dhamma and you listen to Dhamma, it doesn't matter. But it means one is aware of Nama and Rupa at the same time.
To me, I think that the best thing is to get the best from this moment or any moment, that's all. Otherwise, you lose wholesomeness, which is the understanding, because even akusla moments can be objects of understanding.
Yeah. So it comes down to being aware of nama or rupa appearing
the
at this very
way.
Moment.
That's why Buddha said the only way.
It's the only way, but we are forgetful. We don't apply it.
I think that it's not just because you are forgetful, but you can say that. But why one is forgetful? Because there is no awareness of this moment. So the collecting moment is just this very moment. Just collect it little by little. Even its softness here or whisper object here, when there's some understanding that it's not you or anyone, that is the collection of understanding from moment to moment.
Little by little, you mean, like the penny in a day.
But when there is no understanding, it's impossible to collect, right?
Yeah.
Because ignorance cannot understand how to correct either. Are you happy with Dhamma?
Yes. I don't look happy.
I mean that I would like to know how much you read or how much you think that you are happy about them. About Dhamma that you have thought about?
In this moment or in general or?
All moments. All moments, yeah.
Yeah, very happy.
This moment, happy of hearing or considering or understanding?
Everything.
I see.
One moment of hearing, one moment of understanding, and one moment.
Yeah, from moment to moment. Mm. Very fast. Yeah.
I got something.
From now on, maybe you keep on saying or thinking with to yourself, one moment to moment, or reality appears, or everything is Dhamma. Sometimes.
You mean everything is Dhamma?
Yes.
You can say like this, yeah. But let's say more or less. Sometimes more and sometimes less.
Everything which is real, we can give more precise definition. Everything is which is real is Dhamma. And there are six doorways to experience Dhamma. So there are six worlds. What is the most important world?
The mind.
importance?
No, none is really important because they're all non-self and they're all impermanent.
Yeah.
But it's a reminder that panya or understanding experience an object and can develop.
Ignorance too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any doubt about six worlds?
About the six worlds?
Yes.
I think it's an expression. It's not a question of doubting it. I think, just like difficult, if you call it six worlds and then there is a universe, okay, you have to separate then your six worlds into this universe.
Still six worlds.
I think it would be more precise to say there's six aspects of one world, but they're not six worlds actually. Or you can call it six worlds, but I mean, it doesn't matter actually. I think I know what you mean with the six worlds, so whether you call them six worlds or six parts of one world or six aspects of one world,
can there
really
be just one world?
Pardon?
Can there be just one world?
I think there is one world around, yeah. Including effortlessness, consciousness, emptiness, which is not so really, let's say, common here, and material things, or the energy.
So it's the conventional world then, when we talk about one world?
I think in the conventional world there's no consciousness and emptiness included. Or maybe some people may include it, I don't know. I think this world concept is more interesting where it comes from, where it goes, how we are integrated, how is consciousness related to the other parts, how it arises, how it goes away. I think that's more, I mean, for me, more interesting than to say, yeah, there's one world or two worlds or three worlds. I think we can call this doorways worlds. But they're very much overlapping also.
So you mean that what the world you mean is permanent because there is one world and part of the that world is not permanent? Or this one world is not permanent either?
You mean the overall world, or the world, or the universe?
Is the world permanent?
Yes.
Which world is permanent?
This world which includes all the other worlds.
Is this
but even
world?
Your seeing world, I think, is permanent as long as there are seeing. And because there is seeing, as long as not all people are enlightened.
So, at this moment, the world of seeing does not fall away or pass away at all, it stays?
Yeah, in this moment where it comes and goes and comes and goes.
How many times? Not just one time, right? Of seeing this moment.
Yeah, every moment.
So, any world is not permanent.
If you understand under permanence not to have moment after moment, then it's not permanent, right? But if it is one moment and one moment and one moment and one moment, which always arise and arise and arise without any ending.
One world arise and falling away,
yeah.
The other world arise and falling away. So there is one world at one moment, which is not permanent.
There is always coming again and coming again.
Yes.
And you know it's coming again for sure.
But each one is not permanent.
In this way that you say it's related to this moment, it's not permanent, no. But if you know it's coming back again, then you can say it's permanent, why not?
Which one comes back? No one can.
Everyone comes back.
Why not? Like the extinction of the fire, the next fire is not the previous one coming back. It depends on other conditions for the next.
Yeah, but seeing as seeing.
Yes, even the the eye sense has fallen away too. So the next one, the body, the eye sense, the new one, conditions the new process of seeing. So even the condition for seeing is not permanent.
I think what Klaus is saying, it's continual. Even if it's not permanent, well, it appears to be the same one.
Yeah.
There's no distinction between the previous moment of seeing and the following moment
mm-hmm.
of seeing in terms of its idle activity. So we call it the world of seeing.
You mean that the eye sense is the same, permanent? Never fall away?
No. If the, even if we say it's not permanent, it falls away, but it arises again very
but
shortly
afterwards.
But not
the same one arise again.
It seems to be the
now,
same one.
How do you think that the same one which has completely fallen away come back?
It says it doesn't go to any store, it doesn't go... There is no heap of chittas past.
But to appearance, it's the
to
same
our
one.
Appearance. To our appearance.
Because it's eye-door.
Yeah.
We call it eye-door, we don't... So one moment of eye door, another moment of eye door. It's continual.
So you mean that your body does not change at all because each part stays?
But we speak about seeing and not about
yes,
body.
Yes, seeing is here too. It since it's part of the body and it stays, so every part is there. Every part stays.
Yeah, but seeing as a reality, it's just seeing.
Seeing is mentality and it needs eye sense as its base. It arises here, in the middle
but
of the
individual eye sense, just eye sense in general. And as long as there is eye sense, it will always come again and again.
But even the rupa here cannot stay. So each one now arises and falls away in split second. The previous one was the eye base for the previous eye, of previous seeing moment. And the present one is the eye base for the present seeing. Otherwise, the body will not change at all if you think that it stays.
Then the rebirth is permanent.
Pardon?
Then this rebirth is permanent as a kind of compromise.
Rebirth?
Yeah, of every moment.
It's one moment, the rebirth.
Yeah, but then there's another moment for sure.
Yeah, it's not a rebirth consciousness because that's the first moment of life. And that falls away.
That means this rebirth of seeing. There's a seeing
moment,
and
case.
Then there's another rebirth of seeing, and another rebirth of seeing, and another rebirth.
You mean arising, actually, arising of seeing.
What he's saying is that this is a constant. This is something that is happening all the time. So in that sense, you could say it's
rebirth sounds better.
And the object of seeing is not the same.
I didn't say this. It has not to be naturally the same. It's just the seeing. The
so
seeing
the seeing
is
it has to be different each moment.
Yeah, but because it comes always again, there is a continuous flow of seeing, or continuous moments of seeing.
But when there is hearing, there cannot be seeing. So there is hearing, and then there cannot be seeing at the same time. And then there is thinking, there cannot be seeing at the same time. So that's why the worlds are separated, the six worlds. That you can realize that each moment is different, with a different object, different conditions, different doorway. When there is hearing, seeing, not seeing at the same time.
I think the point is you judge it from outside. I mean, you say you see these six worlds, and then you say, yeah, because there are six worlds, and they arise and fall away, and arise and fall away, they cannot be permanent. That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're separated.
But if you just stay in one world, or you just see as a one world, or take one world as it is, then you know that this one world will come again and again. It will never disappear.
That's thinking.
Alexander's is thinking.
That's thinking. I mean, the reality that is experienced, if there is awareness, can be awareness of seeing for a moment, but at that moment there's no knowing of any other moments of seeing. Afterwards there may be thinking, oh, seeing is going to happen many, many times and I'm going to see until I lose my eyesight, but that's thinking, not any direct experience.
Yeah, that's what I say. If you're looking from the outside, if you're looking from the alternatives, you're right. If you're looking from not looking, if you treat it as a reality, yeah, there is just a reality of seeing, and this reality of seeing will arise and fall away and arise and fall away, but there is an ongoing process, it will never stop. I mean, we not have to call it permanence, I mean, that's really not the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but this moment, if there is awareness can be a way of seeing for one moment only, and then next moment, totally different reality, so at that moment there is no idea of future moments of seeing at all. So it's our idea that there will always be seeing and that this is something permanent or whatever, because there's no awareness at this moment.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, but I mean it's just looking from a different side, you're looking from the outside somehow, or you're looking at different things, you know that there are different things, but why is it not possible to stay just in the seeing? And there's a seeing itself.
Well, because the way that we're looking at it, I don't mind whether it's called from the outside or the inside or whatever, but what we're interested in is looking at it from the point of view of what is actually appearing at this moment, what can actually be directly known. It's like before, it's the difference between Sumutichisatya and Paramatasatya, between conventional truths and absolute. We think that you can just stay in the seeing, but this is just an idea. The characteristic of eye base would be different at different moments of seeing?
Certainly, because the eye base lasts only 17 moments of citta, so it cannot be the same one for the two seeing moments.
What would be different about different moments of eye base?
No, the eye base is the eye base, but it's not the same one.
You mean it's deteriorated from moment to moment, or the characteristic?
Because when we count from Pawanga, Atita Pawang, to the Talampana, it's gone completely.
I know it must be a different one, but the actual nature of visible object is very easy to understand. It has a very different characteristic. When I open my eyes now, and now it's different, what is seen is quite different. But it's harder to understand that even though we know it's a different moment, a different eye base from moment to moment, it's harder to understand that the nature of it is
the same.
Different.
The eye base is the eye base.
It's the same.
Because it's the base of seeing consciousness.
Yes. So its characteristic is the same.
The same, because it can contact only visible object. Mm. It cannot change its characteristic at all.
For that matter, the characteristic of visible object is the same too.
Well, yes, it's colour then, or? Mm-hmm. You could say in the sense that what is seen, so in that sense it's the same.
But not the same one, the same moment which has gone.
Yeah.
But seeing can do anything but see.
Mm-hmm.
Great task. Seeing and seeing and seeing, non-stop seeing.
Actually, the six words, you include in something else, or it's just that you say it's the six words, that's the end?
The end.
This is the end.
Mm-hmm. Good to have only six.
It's enough.
I would prefer 17.
It's plenty.
Confused.
So that when we have more ignorance, when we have more words, or have more right understanding.
Sure, more possibilities.
So how do we get to know more about these six worlds?
One by one world at a time. To see the distinction between these six.
So is it okay to study them?
Certainly. One cannot think about it at all.
When we talk about studying the six different worlds, doesn't that indicate there's some selection or focusing on a particular...
No. It's like now that is seeing, there is hearing, there is thinking. It depends on which one
appears,
or sati is aware, or panya understands.
Unless you make an effort, there's no particular world appears. Sati doesn't.
No, nothing appears at all.
Things appear now, but maybe not as a world, one of the world, not as a doorway, but as many doorways.
Without doorway, can this moment of seeing appear without either? One now thinks that there are many worlds appearing, but in reality, if one doorway,
yes,
some world is missing too.
That's right. But because they all tend to appear mixed up together to make the conventional world,
but
how does one separate them?
It can appear just one by one. It can appear just one by one. That's why right understanding has to develop in order to experience that it really appears one by one.
So let's say in one's daily life they don't appear much to awareness one by one. Is it okay to go through them one by one?
Yeah.
Eye door, ear door.
You mean one by one, eye door?
Well,
to go through.
What to
do
go
you mean
through.
By thinking?
To by thinking, for example.
How?
Just. Now I'll study eye door. Now I'll study ear door.
So it's eye?
It's thinking though, isn't
it?
So it's useful? Thinking about eye door, thinking about ear door, thinking about...
Right. Is it useful? Can it be useful?
It depends on when there is no understanding of seeing, there should be more listening about seeing. considering more in order to really understand that seeing is not visible object and it appears just at moment of seeing. Separate doorways from other doorways.
And the mind door is in between all the time, and that is very difficult for us. But when one has realized vipassana, jnana, stages of insight, it is experienced that the mind door comes in between and they are really separated, these worlds. But not now, because we don't know what the mind door is and we don't realize it, we know in theory only. Because when there is seeing, there has to be mind door process between seeing, and then there is hearing, and it seems all so together. But the mind door process separates us, these processes.
So can we give the separation a bit of encouragement by thinking about the different doorways? Is it useful? It's not satipatthana, but is it useful reflection?
If it's right thinking about realities, if it's reflection on seeing invisible objects, if it's reflection on different doorways, it's kusala, it's right thinking. But right thinking is not the same as a moment of sati now. But if it's right thinking, like here, having right discussion, it is kusala at that moment, at the level of thinking. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
Right? Oh, 17 moments. 17 moments of six walls.
Have you managed to reconcile and accept these 17 moments?
But I hope we don't confuse you when we talk about process, because...
There was just one question, when you, but maybe I not got the sentence or I didn't hear. You say there is seeing but not of visible objects or something like this you said. I did not understand. You said a sentence with seeing and visible objects.
No, she said seeing sees visible object, but these two are different realities, because seeing is the mental reality, or nama, and visible object is the physical reality. Visible object or color doesn't know anything. So it is divided between these two kinds of realities.
So without visible objects, there is no seeing.
The awareness can be aware of seeing at one moment, and maybe at another moment there can be awareness of visible object. No, when there is awareness or sati, and there is the development of understanding, it can take any object, either a mental reality or a physical reality.
Yeah, now you're changing the world.
No. It is the way to have right understanding of all the different realities which appear.
Okay, but if you stay in one world and say the seeing needs visible objects?
It's different. And we mix them. We don't realize it. It seems that seeing and visible objects all together are not analyzed as different realities, but they are.
But visible objects and seeing could be together.
They arise together.
They don't arise together, they are there together, you can say. Because the seeing sees visible object.
Right. So without visible objects, there is half seeing. There is no seeing.
When visible object appears, it can only appear when there is also seeing.
Right.
Yeah. But they are different.
Hmm.
And the first stage of insight is realizing the difference between mental reality and physical reality. And it is very, very difficult because we know in theory. It's the first step only to know that realities are non-self.
People today try to change the world.
To change the world?
Yeah. Many people try to change the world. They don't know that the world is changing by conditions all the time.
I think most of the people who try to change the world, they try to change the conditions as well.
And sometimes they don't know the right conditions, so they just try this way or that way. But if they really understand that the world is changing by conditions, and the development of right conditions can condition the world they like to be, or not the whole world, but this world here, Because when we talk about the world, we don't mean just the earth.
Could one say we can, it's most useful to understand the world as changing in terms of ultimate realities, but this doesn't mean that on a conventional level we can still try to change the world conventionally while understanding that the world is changing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only way, I think, changing the conditions or developing conditions.
Well, I think that we all lead different lifestyles and do different jobs. Like in my work, I work in the field of education, so I'm helping to make some improvements in this field on a conventional level. Of course, we could say ultimately the goal is to, the most important thing is to develop understanding.
That's why one cannot change the world when one still has wrong understanding of the world.
One can only change it in a conventional sense.
Mm-hmm. Even so, even when tries and tries without understanding of some level, it's impossible.
Well, it may be it's possible within those conventional limits, like if you encourage people not to, well, as a naturalist would say, if you encourage people not to cut down forests, then there will be more forests by conditions, probably. This is on a conventional level, but yes, in terms of understanding that in fact the six worlds are changing, no, it doesn't do anything.
But I think that they still do have lobha, dosa, moha for the wood and for everything in life. So
of
I think that without understanding more,
you cannot change the lobha dosa, of course, but
or even the cutting of the forest of the wood. See?
Well, if I'm cutting the forest with right understanding or wrong understanding, then there's probably no difference to the cutting or the saving of the forest, but there's a difference to the development of
understanding. I think that there is, because as long as lobha is there, it grows. No one can stop the growth of lobha or cutting the forest. One might say, I'll cut and don't the other stop cutting, just me, and then the forest still left. But if everyone thinks like this, so everyone cuts. For example, maybe those who do not have wood to build a house, they think that, oh, just for building a house, see, and the other might think, just for something, little by little.
But this is a very long-term. If my job is a woodcutter and I begin to develop some understanding, so I'm going to continue cutting wood because this is my lifestyle. There may be a little bit less lobha, but I'm still going to be cutting the same amount of wood.
So if everyone has less lobha, everything will get just a little better on and on.
Very slowly, I think.
But better than just trying to ask them not to cut and still have
understanding.
Yeah, low
micro. But the development conferences and trying to do your best, even though you cannot explain about lobha to the people who attend it, it's still good to be engaged in these things.
But not for the long run.
It will not be so effective, maybe, but some can be done in the world, otherwise, you could stop all activity.
But one should also help them to understand more about this world too.
If the moment is right.
But if you are...
It's most unlikely they'll be interested in.
If you do your work with UNIDO or something, in the embassy, and people are not really interested, and there are these conferences, and you do your best to contribute, like my husband always did. You can't just start a talk on lobha in the conference.
No, I think that that's a different place. Yeah. While one is working, one is doing one's job, one shouldn't forget about having more understanding of oneself.
That's important, But you can't make the other people understand.
That's why only for those who really see the usefulness of developing one's own world.
On the way here, we were discussing areas. Sometimes one might be in a situation where people are talking about some topic like euthanasia, if one happens to be living in Holland. And again, sometimes there's nothing one can say, but sometimes it may be a condition for a lot of dosa on our part also. That's the problem at that time.
I suppose we have even less chance of saying the right thing if we react with dosa. Someone I know who feels that people who go through a lot of suffering in their life benefit from it in the sense of becoming more, not only immune to suffering, but they learn to live a better life because they've been through all this conventional suffering. Is there any connection between the experience of unhappiness and loss and then the strength?
So the question come back to, is that person still has lobha, dosa and moha? One can feel pleasant, but still one does have lobha and dosa and moha, not eradicated.
Well, they still have it, but the question is whether they understand life a little bit better.
They are contented with their life, with lobha, right or wrong.
Maybe they don't have any more attachment than before, maybe less attachment. Maybe it's a condition for them to realize that the material things in life are not worth clinging to.
But after seeing, no attachment? After
there would
hearing.
Be attachment, uh-huh. Sure. But
yeah.
The grosser aspects of attachment may have been alleviated because they see the futileness of being attached to
I think that it's only the degree of attachment, but attachment is there after seeing, after hearing, for sure. But maybe you don't see that weak one because it's very weak, but usually one sees when it's stronger than that. So one may think that one doesn't have or one has less, but actually after seeing, it's there, attachment to the object which is seen. So it depends on more understanding only.
But when you don't say anything, you don't feel useless. When there is awareness of nama and rupa, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why satipatthana is the only.
It's the only way to solve this.
Yeah.
Obviously, if one's feeling useless or inadequate, obviously it's clinging to self, and obviously that is one's tendency. But why would it therefore seem? Why is there more just conditions for this kind of dosa?
Yeah. Because the condition for dosa is lobha.
And you know, a mana, a lot of mana together
certainly.
With the lobha, that we are not humble enough. Mm-hmm. I feel it all the time.
Yeah.
Other people are able to listen
yeah.
more or
yeah.
something
yeah.
like that.
But actually, it's not only satipatthana that helps, because even someone who doesn't know about satipatthana can reflect that there's no point in feeling useless or getting upset or worrying about it.
Yeah,
they
you can
reflect.
Reason.
That you
can reason, yeah. But
it's
not,
not
so
any reason,
effective.
Though, is it?
It's not so effective
well,
as satipatthana itself.
Now you're talking about results. We're not supposed
yeah.
to be results-oriented here.
But we can, as a matter of fact, as Kusuchi says, that satipatthana is the real cure, and we can reason about it, and it is a temporary effect, or it won't always help, or not very much, or maybe not at all. We can reason and reason
that's
and
true.
No help. And when there is satipatthana,
because
it's the deep
dosa can be so strong that the reason
yeah.
doesn't help.
Right. So it might be like, even if it's sort of seems like it's several years what one feels unhappy or something, and even if one's hearing a lot about the Dharma or considering, but still
condition for
no conditions at that time or
yeah.
just conditions for... maybe earlier one had all the lobha, now it's time for the
dosa.
Yeah, it's like this, life, it's like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to accept
stages
it.
Of life, one has different kilesas
yeah.
that
and one
dominate.
Has to accept it.
Mm-hmm. It's a natural.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that it's not you, it's depending on conditions, that's all. To be lobha or dosa or mana or...
So there's no need to worry that we seem to be getting some new kind of
no.
gilesa that
no.
we didn't have before.
No.
We're all happy
to. No. Because even that is not you. It does
yeah.
not belong to anyone. Just a moment which is conditioned. So one can see the conditions that as long as there is still the latent tendencies is there.
Mm.
No
and
matter when. See?
And by the same token, different kinds of kusala that we might have had previously seem less strong
mm-hmm.
than...
Yeah.
before.
Yeah.
But supposedly when we develop satipatthana, the kusala is supposed to increase and grow stronger and the akusala is supposed to diminish.
Temporarily.
Because
yeah.
that is a long way ahead,
yeah.
Enlightenment
yeah.
so on, and eradication.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even think of it now.
Yeah. There are conditions for other akusala in between as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One has to be very patient with one's kalesa at the time. Of course, when everything's going well and one's fit and healthy and happy, life seems so easy, but one has to be so patient when it's not like that. But of course, the problem also is not accumulating enough understanding when everything's going well. There's so much clinging to it at that time too.
That's why in the content of the teachings, which we call Obada Patimokkha, patience is the first word the Buddha taught.
Patient with this moment.
Patience will lead you to the goal.
The beginning of Vinaya and the Sindhamapada.
Yeah, everything needs patience.
Could we not say, though, that if there's a moment of understanding, there's patience anyway at that moment, patience with the reality?
We don't have to find out whether it's there or not, but when kusala arises on a wholesome jetasika's condition, depending on whether it's with right understanding or without right understanding.
There can be moments of patience without any understanding.
Just tell me how I can get some quickly.
Go back. Longer.
Just in conventional terms, we would say in this situation Nina was talking about, or when one of us would go to another country, it seems that when there's some big adjustment in life, that it's a condition for a lot of difficulties or problems. I mean, this is what we're saying.
In Bangkok, for instance, and the traffic and the heat.
You think of the whole situation, but you think of moment.
And you think of moment,
Otherwise, there would be next situation again and different situation again.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't know. Like today there was traffic, but we were all so happy.
What do you mean by do meditation? You do meditation. So
you can visualize or you can, think about some realities, like seeing, you try to understand it more deep, or you try to get some message also to think at all or to concentrate at all, because many people, they just can't concentrate on one thing, they just have big problems to stay with some subject for some time. So I think for these people who have problems, just to stay with one subject for 1 hour, I think meditation would be a very good way, or one of the good ways to get a better concentration as a method to stay in a discussion as well.
Concentrating on one object for 1 hour is helpful.
Yeah, if you learn concentration by this, it is helpful in this way. Because even if you're sitting here on the table, it is necessary to concentrate. If there's no concentration, you run around and you start another discussion, or you go there and take something to eat first, and then you come back, but you forget already what they're speaking about, something like this. So that's the first help. But another help may be also that you're concentrating on some subjects or objects. And may give you a deeper understanding by thinking about yourself, maybe. For some people may be very nervous, they even can't, they can't concentrate and stay somewhere quiet. It's very, very nervous. So for these people, I think it may be a good way to meditate and calm.
Is it useful for everyone? If you have sufficient concentration to follow the discussion or to remember what subject is going on, is that enough then?
I think it's a very personal way as well, I think it will not hurt you as long as you not try to get some magic things out of it. I mean, out of some meditation. But usually they not try to get magic things out of it. So.
Extraordinary experience. I mean, it's common here in Thailand. That it jump up and down to have that.
Yeah, but this may happen.
Yeah.
This may happen, just you don't want it, You go up, but you even don't want it.
But we have to find out whether it's right concentration or wrong concentration. Is kusala citta or is akusala citta? There are so many misunderstandings here. It's pitiful.
Yeah. I understand, but I think it's always dangerous if you always consider that there is a misunderstanding and it's always done in the wrong way, and it's not so sometimes also helpful. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people, they need concentration very much. Mm-hmm. And there are different ways to concentrate, yeah? They can also do other things.
But you can find out that
like with
talk.
Children, yeah? You teach them to concentrate,
yeah.
Not by meditation, you just teach them by different ways, yeah? So meditation is just one way.
But if you talk to those people, what are they developing, which object do they have? Do they know, or are they just trying to concentrate? Do they know the different cittas? Do they know when citta is kusala citta, when it is akusala citta, all in detail? And when you talk to them, you can find out what kind of meditation. Because maybe they say they don't know. And that is ignorance. What is knows his own cittas? One has to be prepared sincere.
It is not dangerous because of this. But look, I think a lot of people, they understand many of Buddhist teachings or many of this reality, let's put it in this way, even not knowing the right words. Yeah, like I said, I don't know, some days ago, Mother Therese, yeah, she may understand in some aspects much more than we understand.
Be very clear about one's goal and purpose, because certain courses will bring certain results. So if one goes to the meditation center in order to develop concentration so that perhaps one will be more focused in one's work or something like that, it's okay, that's fine if that is what one's goal is. This is fine. It may not have anything to do with concentration in a Buddhist sense, because in fact, if we come to the Pali terms, there is concentration at each moment. There can be right concentration and wrong concentration. Some version of expert concentrators. So, but anyway, in a conventional sense, if that is one's aim, that is fine, and no one is saying that there's anything wrong with it. But if one's aim, when one goes to the meditation center, one says is to develop understanding as taught by the Buddha, well then we would question whether this practice has anything to do with understanding as taught by the Buddha. Because if there's no understanding of what understanding is, if one thinks that we can do something by going to a certain place at a certain time, it shows there's not any understanding at that moment. So it depends on one's aim in life, one's purpose. Only if one says that one is going in order to develop more wisdom or understanding, then one would say, well, of course, it's not the surroundings in the end that is important, but the understanding that is important. So it just depends on one's goal or one's purpose.
I don't know, because everyone who teaches meditation actually teaches it as a means for developing understanding.
So
even if you go for the aim, you might say just as a cut-off or something, but still, the whole purpose of the center is supposedly to develop understanding.
And that's what I was thinking, because if you go, you can tell the person who's teaching you that is your aim, when the teacher's aim is been stated that this is the way to enlightenment.
If you go to a place where everyone else is pursuing one goal, even though you tell yourself you're pursuing another goal, it's unlikely that you wouldn't.
I mean, you can't speak to people honestly under those circumstances.
No. I think that people are different. To me, I think that I don't mind what the other think, what the other had attained, maybe arahata or highest degree or lower than that. I just be true to myself whether I understand reality of this moment or not, and how to understand and how to direct experience the true nature that I have heard that all dhammas or everything is anatta, and this moment cannot stay, nothing can stay, and seeing is just a reality, because I've heard lots of explanation of this. But when there is no development of understanding more of seeing, how can there be the understanding of seeing of just an element or a moment or a reality which experiences visible object which is not me, not I, and it cannot stay, because other reality is conditioned, like hearing, different from the moment of seeing. I just want to understand realities and to be able to directly experience the true nature of realities. I don't mind whether who does this and then attain that or not. It depends Because I know that if there is no understanding of this moment as it is, there is no way to what we call enlightenment, which means the full knowledge or understanding of reality, which we take for me or life every moment now. So I don't mind if the other will go here or there or what they think they know. It's their business because they think they know. But for me, do I really understand this moment? And how to have more understanding? And how one can know whether it's right or wrong? If I was told to sit, no more explanation or helping more to me to understand more about reality which appear. I don't want to sit. Don't tell me to do without anything. Why sit and then understand what? Because I see, I hear, I think, I smell from day to day. And how can I understand this? So people are different, and many people go to meditation center to be told to do walking or sitting or standing and having some strange experience. And some would say that, oh, that is the stage of vipassanayana or insight meditation, and that person has attained the first enlightenment, things like that. I'm not interested in that. No matter he says, all right, he thinks like that. But what about this moment of understanding reality? And this can be found in the Buddhist teachings. All of the three collections is about this moment and reality. So I know that the one who can teach me to understand this must be the enlightened one. Those who cannot teach me to understand this cannot be considered as the enlightened one at all, because he cannot teach about this moment, about reality of this moment. He can teach about something not now, see?
Yeah, no problem at all. I think it's only, let's say, a wrong adaptation to think by getting teachings there would automatically something happen. I think for some of us, or let's say for some other people, it doesn't matter actually whether they go in a meditation or they go and listen something like you teach them. Yeah? There may be people who will not get it in this way and in that way. Yeah? Maybe there is a third way. They may get something. You may say there are more possibilities. Yeah, in this way you say. You may. This is sure right. Yeah. But I just, let's say, want to warn, or let's say tell it for myself. Yeah. That even you do it by a good teacher in the right way. Yeah. By discussing it, by learning it in the text, and it may not help you something, or it may not give you better, bigger wisdom, yeah, because it also is related how you can understand something. So if this person, if I cannot understand it, I may sit here a million of hours and I will not understand anything, yeah. So I just warn of this automatic, because especially the people in the meditation area, yeah, where I came from actually, but I never liked it. I mean, that's why I have no big problem here, yeah, to say, okay, forget it. But these people, yeah, they always think they will get something automatically. And for sure, it is not like this. But opposite, by sitting here and discussing it, you also will not get anything automatically. As long as you not have your own understanding and you do not do your own experience, and it's just some words, yeah, which are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, and they will not leak into your system, and your system may not be developed. And I just want to warn, yes, that even you know the right way of, let's say, teaching, there may be people, there may be situations
where it doesn't really help. Who will listen or who will not, because it depends on what we mean by wisdom or understanding. To me, it means the understanding of reality of this moment, just this moment, because I know that this moment is real. But for some people, if they say that wisdom is different from this, is something else, I don't mind, because it's their thought. But what is real now, and whoever cannot understand it, one cannot say that that person has developed understanding of reality at all, because it's only thinking of something which does not stay now or does not appear here. So how can they know what is there which hasn't yet arise or What about the moment which now there are realities like visible object and sound and other realities like feeling, thinking, and no knowledge about this? So they think that they would know something else different from this moment. I'm sure if they do not develop understanding of realities of this moment. So it depends on what we mean by wisdom or understanding. To me, wisdom is the understanding of reality of this moment by developing understanding from hearing and then considering and then applying with right understanding and right awareness. Otherwise, people would like to experience something far away which does not appear now, and I'm not considered that is wisdom. Because wisdom can understand reality as it is, as conditioned, arising and falling away, impermanent, not stay, not self. I know that it's not easy, but it can develop little by little because of one's own ignorance that we have had for quite a long, long time, even in this life, from birth up to this moment. There are more conditions for ignorance rather than conditions for right understanding. That's why it takes time to develop. I'm not impatient. I try my best to. Going on and on, even the knife handle hasn't worn away yet. Hold it.
Also, I think we can say the very beginning is to at least straighten out our ideas intellectually, because if one has the wrong idea intellectually, certainly there's no chance for deeper understanding to develop. And by having these discussions and hearing these reminders, at least it helps us to, in the beginning, get the right idea intellectually. And a deeper understanding may take a very long time. It may take lifetimes to really develop. But the clearer one's idea is of what is the practice, that's the way the deeper understanding can grow. And the deeper it grows, the less conditions there are for doubt and wondering, is this right? I wonder if I should be doing something else. But in the beginning, because our understanding is so little and one hears these ideas, but one hears something else, it's so shaky, the understanding in the beginning. There's bound to be a lot of doubt and wondering, and should I do something else or should something else? But as it grows, less and less conditions for doubt and wondering in between. And the more confidence grows and the more one understands that even that moment of wondering, well, maybe this would be better or maybe I should go there, it's just a moment of thinking. That can be an object of awareness at that moment too, because that's also a present reality. But if one doesn't have the, if one doesn't hear and consider and have one's ideas questioned so that one knows what is the right view intellectually in the beginning, definitely no deeper practice can.
But you want to warn us that you won't get a result automatically, but we don't think so that it comes automatically. It has to be developed, but we know it's difficult.
Not a warning, actually, it's more a mentioning, just to say.
Yeah.
I mean, we all should consider that, let's say, it's Zen Buddhism, is maybe focusing even more than we, or in the same way as we, on reality. But they do it in different ways, by meditation, even by hitting. If they hit you on the back, and they think that you get the reality by hitting you, I just say there are, it's not so that they just want to sit down and sleep half, Their concept, it's really that they want to get reality or by cleaning something. I mean, Zen Buddhists are very famous for just doing the normal work, not doing anything special. Just get awareness of this, what they do, of this moment, what they're doing now in this second, or in this moment. Just to understand the reality by cleaning as well, or by putting flowers together, whatever you want, So the reality, I think, also for some other schools.
Their definition of reality is quite different from the working definition that we use, isn't it? Because they would talk about the cleaning.
No. The reality of this moment which arises, that there's only one moment of recognizing or seeing. I think they're very similar this way.
Do we have to do anything like sweeping, cleaning in order to understand reality?
No, we have to. I mean, it all fits together, like experience.
Like now, there are realities. Do we have to do anything different in order to understand it?
No, you just do your normal life, actually, somehow. Mm. Plus some teaching, or plus, let's say, using your mind a little bit more as usual.
How to use one's mind?
By thinking. And
thinking
about seeing and thinking about hearing.
Yes, that is one level of contemplation on or about realities, but not the direct awareness of reality. For example, we can talk about seeing and hearing without any awareness of the reality which now sees. It performs its function already at moment of seeing.
Yeah.
One cannot do anything. Hearing performs the function of hearing. So no use to do anything else. When there is no awareness, when there is no understanding, can we use awareness and understanding when there is none? It has to develop little by little until it grows.
Yeah.
So, at moment of seeing and touching, usually there is no awareness. How can awareness arise? Can it arise by our intention?
Yeah.
So you can intend to have anything you like to have. If you can have awareness at will by your intention.
Let's put it this way, you can get the experience, or you improve your experiencing, getting awareness.
Yes,
and then there are maybe some steps, or there may be a process which you can start.
But wisdom is not the thing that can you intend to have it, or awareness is not the reality that you can intend to have it. There must be conditions for any reality to arise.
Yeah, but knowing this, we change the, or we develop the conditions by intending to get more awareness, and you know that there are conditions for awareness, so you develop the conditions of the awareness.
As I know, intention is a reality arising with each moment. We cannot have extra one to use it or to spend it.
There are many moments happen and disappear, and you are not.
Yes, but there is intention or relation in each one by conditions already. I cannot have extra one.
No, just use the available one.
No, because one moment arises with intention already. No body at that moment. And after it's passing away, it conditions the next one with intention in it already too.
Right. The intention is there.
Mm-hmm.
But the memorizing, or the good activities, or let's say this mixture, you can improve.
Even at that moment there is intention already.
Not at that moment.
Yeah, there must be intention with each citta, each moment. You cannot take it out, you cannot put another in.
No, you just change the condition.
No, you do. No, you, because at moment of seeing, there is intention already, and when that citta has fallen away, the next citta also has intention in it already. No you, no self, besides all the process of citta, which arise by conditions. Like seeing, there is only not one citta which experiences visible object. After seeing consciousness has fallen away, the other citta receives it, the visible object, and after that another citta consider it. And then after that, another citta make decision, and then after that, the loba or dosa is attached. That's why it works from moment to moment, with intention in each citta already. It seems like one thing that one can, but how can one do anything? That the banana tree and this is the table, what can we do? We cannot add anything in it at all. Like we cannot add intention into citta. So the development of understanding is to hear for sure what the Buddha taught and why it has to be the Buddha. Because he taught us about the reality. If the other person would teach like Buddha, then okay, that person we can listen to. But since Buddha was the first one who has become enlightened and he taught for 45 years. And when we read his study, we can check and prove whether what he taught is right or wrong about seeing and hearing and attachment and aversion and conceit and accumulation and karma and the result of karma. We can check because he taught us very, very deeply in details, much more than we can guess or we can think about each moment which is conditioned by many, many conditions. Like the seeing cannot arise without the eye base or other citta which preceding it, because citta has to arise only one at a time. And before there can be attachment or aversion citta, the seeing has to fallen away, and the other citta which precedes lobha dosa has to fallen away too. So it's beyond our power to do anything, because nobody can stop the arising of citta in processes.
So where is your active role then? Where is this improving, this developing?
At moment of hearing about realities, see? It depends on what happens to be object of hearing now. Not at your will, because there can be moment of hearing that too. And moment of hearing the word, the sound that can bring about a little understanding of reality. That if there is dog or cat here, even there is hearing, there is no condition to understand. But for human being, especially who has accumulation in the past to have conditions to hear such sound, and since there has accumulation to consider it, can understand that, oh, this word can help one to understand realities. So one can see that any moment is conditioned by many, many factors.
And the active role is to study these factors.
And when there is a little understanding, the next moment can be more, and next year will be more, and next life much more, if one still can have opportunity to hear. Because there are many words that one hear in a day from this person or that person, but it depends on what is about reality and what is not. Can it help one to understand oneself better about how can one have attachment, aversion, have the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or even there is no experiences of all these more realities, there still are conditions for thinking with attachment or aversion, with conceit of many ugly defilements, see? And sometimes very beautiful, wholesome moments, jetasikas. Just understand, because sound appears already before we can do anything or intend to hear it. When there is no conditions for wisdom, wisdom cannot arise. Like when there is no condition for hearing, hearing can never arise. Cannot arise at all. Even hearing depends on conditions. So what about wisdom, which is more difficult than hearing? So it does not mean that one just see and then happen to understand, one can hear and then happen to understand. Because understanding or wisdom is not like hearing or seeing. It needs fertilizer too. And it grows very, very slowly, much slower than ignorance and defilements. If someone would say that he or she is an arahata, it's all right, but what about you? Can you understand this moment? Can I understand this moment? If they think that I am Hara, can they tell me more about this? Can they help me to have panya? Or they just want me to sit and walk and stop thinking, not understanding anything?
So it's somehow like you train your hearing. On the one hand, you study, let's say, hearing, I mean, not in the conventional way, yeah? Let's say you try to train your hearing for good music, which you may not know or which you may not can do at the beginning. So you study about hearing, and then you hear good things, and then you improve your hearing. And you will get more tones or more from the music as you got before, because this hearing is more complex now for you.
The same way as developing understanding, when there is more considering.
Yeah, you study first what is good hearing, and after you hear better, it comes by itself. It's not a question of studying. Just start in this life.
This life is
there
so
may
short.
Be a tomorrow. Oh yes, there was. There may be a tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope so.
So.
Maybe. But what about this moment? Because what you were saying.
Yeah. One is developing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the time. Whenever you say or have the idea of do this or try to do this or be aware of this, it sounds like it's an idea of self or someone who can do it, who can turn A or B, or who can make the awareness arise, instead of understanding the conditioned nature now. So if you say, well, what special thing can one do, or what special intention can one follow, it always comes back to the idea of someone doing something.
Just take it as a positive, optimistic approach, without any back thinking.
I'm more interested in a realistic approach. I don't want to be an optimist or pessimist. More valuable to be a realist.
Look, I mean, I stay now with this group 4 days or so. And I think it's difficult if somebody enters a group, yeah, and you usually try to give him hints that this is what he says, maybe not 100% correct. Why? Because you not motivate him to take the
idea. You can do it. It sounds like there's not any understanding of the conditioned reality at this moment. Forget about the future, forget about the 100 lives.
Why
do
you not just consider that this person or this somebody who says like this
is willing to do it?
No, you can understand.
Yeah, you try to understand. Yeah, something
but
like this.
It's different from you can do.
I mean, you just try to do something positive, or you try to do something in the right way, and you consider that
okay,
there will happen something.
Yeah, you can do. Please tell me how to do it then.
How I do? Yeah, by sitting here and
good.
Learning. And
oh, this is not to do, this is to understand.
Yes, this is what I mean, by understanding.
But even at this moment, if we say, okay, whether to do or to understand, never mind, but one has the idea that it's you doing or you understand. It sounds like it's not understanding, that in fact it's not you who understand, you who understands, it's understanding that understands. What is you? It's just an idea one has. It's like you don't understand, I don't understand. It may sound like argument over words, but it depends on the understanding when one says that.
I believe that we should be sincere, and that we realize that we hear about the teachings and we little by little only we understand. But if we pretend that we know already or can realize the truth, it's not sincere. We have to be really sincere with ourselves.
Nina, yes.
Yeah, it's true.
But nobody's arguing against this.
No, but you say when you come new in the group, we make it sound like it's too hard or too difficult to read.
But it's just like a little child tries to start drawing, yeah? Mm-hmm. And he's sitting together with some famous painter. And there are two approaches. You can tell the little child what is still missing in his picture, mm-hmm. and there is a lot, for sure.
Yeah.
At least from the conception of this famous or mm-hmm. professional painters. Let's put it better, professional, yeah?
Yeah.
But you can also do the opposite approach, and it's not realistic, it's not optimistic or pessimistic, it's in my opinion just more helpful.
You feel encouragement is necessary for a little child.
Yes, by motivation. Mm-hmm. But encouragement sounds so that you give something to him, yeah? I would more say take this what is already there. Yeah? I mean, we consider that in everybody of us there is a Buddha. Yeah, just take the Buddha in everybody of us, or consider there is it, and then
very optimistic.
And to help this little child, to add these points to his picture, but always tell him that a lot of the good drawing is already in his picture. But he has, let's say, to add maybe this one and that one, yeah? And then you do something on base of his activity, which may help this child to improve and to develop and to, let's say, be motivated to go on with this activity, yeah? If you tell him all the time that this is missing, this is missing, this is missing, yeah? It may be difficult for this child to start any activity at all.
We can listen and we know what we don't know yet, and we find that is already a gain. And also, again, to know what one doesn't know yet is better than before. Yeah, it's better to have a little bit less ignorance. It's a gain, it's good. So it's encouraging. It's encouraging that we can hear the teachings now and apply as much as we can. And at the same time, we know we haven't realized the truth, but we are just on the way, on the right path, on the track. And that's encouraging.
It's like you say, I mean, not you personally, I say, like some people say, oh, every day I know more and more what I not know. I would have a problem with this opinion, even if it is true. And it's not pessimistic, realistic, or optimistic. It's just not the way to go ahead, actually, in my opinion. But it doesn't matter. I mean, look, it's just my opinion, or I just mention it for me and not for anybody else.
The difficulty is, if we're talking about as a goal right understanding, there's only one way to start, and that is with right understanding. So starting with any other kind of practice is not helpful. That's why it has to be right from the beginning. So if one can understand at an intellectual level what is the right practice, then that's the most helpful thing.
He finds it so discouraging, I think. Is that right?
I just wonder how you can be so sure that you know the right way.
We don't like to discourage you.
I'm not discouraging him, actually. How he can know so sure that he knows the right way.
But it, maybe it's like if you're teaching a child some arithmetic and the child writes 2 and 2 = 5, well, it'd be very nice to encourage him and want to say, well, this is a very good effort and it's a very nice way that you've written down your answer.
It's the same idea.
I don't know if we necessarily say that this is the right way, it's just that we eliminate other things we feel are not the right way.
I don't know if we necessarily say
that this is definitely the right way, because we haven't reached an understanding yet. But at least we've eliminated what we look at certain things and see, well, that is not a good way. And therefore you're left with a certain direction you're taking, and in that direction you're trying to understand better. But if it was so easy, so cut and dry, that you could just say, hey, you know, this is it, I don't think you can do that. That's the problem with Tama, is that it's a matter of living in ignorance, and ignorance trying to have understanding. It's very difficult for ignorance to become wise.
Very difficult.
Because ignorance is constantly...
He agrees!
Yeah. So that it's not so easy just to say that it's going to be like, you know, to be so positive when you're ignorant. All you can say is, well, we eliminate these because of this reason and this reason and this reason, and we're left with this, which we believe is a more sensible direction and more along that makes sense. It's the direction we still haven't achieved yet. We would be sitting here now if we'd achieved something. So it's within this framework that we're going, because we believe that this has something there.
Yesterday, Nina and I had an interesting chat with Khunsu Chin in the bus coming back, and she was talking about how the more understanding develops, the more one sees the benefit of hearing more and more. And so, I mean, that's why she listens to the radio program morning and evening and likes to listen so much. In the beginning, one thinks, well, maybe one's just heard it and that's enough. But then, as understanding grows deeper, one sees that it's useful to hear more and more. Found this interesting, because Lodewijk had made a comment to Nina when she repeated something, well, haven't you heard that before, or haven't you heard it enough? But in fact, one's never heard it enough.
Maybe he's got a photographic memory that keeps bringing it up all the time, and we don't have that good fortune.
Konsuchin, I want to ask a question about mana, conceit. We know, of course, that if we think that we're better at doing something than someone else, or worse, or all the same, that this is mana. But we were also talking yesterday about sometimes if one just thinks one is good or the best at doing something, this is mana. If one thinks, for example, one's method of teaching is the best method, does that always mean that it's mana at that time?
When it's me who is better, then it's mana.
What about if one just thinks this approach, which I happen to follow when I teach, is the best approach? Is that necessarily mana?
It depends on citta at that moment. When it's the one which is wholesome, it's right, because it has the right understanding, right attitude, then it's wholesome. But when it's something like me or mine, very, very small ego.
Sometimes it seems like there's a thin borderline, you know, sometimes difficult to tell, like one might think.
For example, even, oh, at my house I have beautiful flowers. It sounds general, but actually sometimes, who knows, it's motivated by mana. I have beautiful flowers.
But it doesn't seem that there's any comparing with anyone else at
Not
that
necessary,
time.
Because at that moment there is the I as somebody and the others too, because it's my house or me.
What about if it really is one's house, but what about if one says, oh, these are beautiful flowers?
At that moment it's all right, because it's true that it's beautiful flower.
Or what about if one says, this is the best way to go from A to B, and someone else says, no, that is the best way to go from A to B, but not necessarily
when
mine.
You have pure intention to help, you really have osalatitta, wanting to help. But if you think that, oh, what they are doing is not as good yet, I can do much better or something like that, and at the same time you have the feeling that you would like to help them, these are different moments. The moment when you feel that you would like to help, that is kusala. But when you think that they don't know as much, you know better.
Then it must be
then mana. Then it is mana, for sure.
I think we know from our own experience that there are times when if we were the one who suggests route A, and then someone else suggests a better route, there can be a feeling of disappointment or whatever.
It depends on the listeners, because the listeners can be very direct to reality and can understand that moment, whether it's motivated by such mana of the others. And that's true. That's the right understanding. But it depends on whether one has kindness and compassion, or one think that, oh, that is nasty, something like that. So even when one hears such comments or remarks, it depends on citta of the listeners, whether it is kusala or akusala.
Of the listener or the speaker?
Of the listeners, because when you hear something and you think that, oh, you don't like that way of speech at all, so it is akusala, because you don't like. But if you understand correctly and then you have compassion, you are the understanding person who knows that it depends on accumulation, and is
we
there any way to help? And then you think of the way to help, not right now, but then later, or when time comes, but you still have good intention, good wishes to help.
Of course, the same expression, like, this is the best way to go from A to B, I mean, the same thing can be said with mana or consideration at that moment. So the listener may have no idea, because we don't know the other's intentions anyway.
And I think that how can we know whether one's way of thinking is the best? See, by accumulation, one might think that way. But in reality, whether it's good or better or best, who knows? Maybe while one is thinking like this, that I think that that is much better and it's more helpful, maybe the other person has different ideas and it's better too. It can be, so why not share and then ask and then see whether which one is better.
But sometimes one might say, okay, this is the best way from A to B, and really it might be the best way. So when you say, oh, well, how can you say it is the best way? But actually sometimes it can be proved scientifically.
Yeah. Even it's the best way, but it depends on that person at that moment, whether he has pride or ego or conceit about his best way or not. So reality is very, very tricky, or very, very crafty, that if one is not wise to it, one is motivated by conceit or that kind of unwholesome all the time unknowingly.
One might hear someone else saying, oh, this is the best way to go from A to B, and we know there is a lot of conceit, but then we also know that it's the same for all of us. We all have so much mana accumulated, and for all of us, it won't be eradicated until the last stage.
I know that everyone has mana except Arahata, but sometimes mana comes very softly, and when it grows, one can hear or one can see. If one is the one who is careful in noticing just a little thing, and one can understand people thoroughly or more because one is used to understand little by little about one's own unwholesomeness. So one understands the other's unwholesomeness too. If one has known about one's own unwholesomeness, one knows that the other person has, but he hasn't yet known his defilement at that time yet. So I think that by developing one's own understanding, one can understand the other's defilements too. But it depends on whether you have conceit of your own, or you have loving kindness or compassion or friendliness to help. It depends. So it's just not a matter of right or wrong, or good or bad, but it's a matter of intention at that moment.
Sometimes one can say something and yes, one's intention might be misinterpreted or something, because if someone else said the same thing, it might be with a different intention, but then one can't help others.
But I think that if one has good intention, one can help when it's right time or when time comes, not just say, when, oh, it's this, you better not do that, but because it's not right yet, not right time yet. So one has to be patient too when one really want to help.
Sometimes when one gives advice to others, it's the same. One can give advice for so many different motives, and one can give advice like about the health and it may be with kusala, or one can give advice with mana because one thinks that one's idea is better, but again, in the end, one can only know one's own intention, but it may be misinterpreted.
Sometimes one might know. But advice is advice, so it's good when it's advice. But when it's something like, I can do it better in that way, it's not advice yet, but it's only one's own idea of thinking that I can do better. No advice, but always thinking that I can do better. And then what is the advice? That person has to go and think and find out whether that is the real better advice or good advice. And sometimes, why not think of the other that he can have good advice too, not only me or I. Everyone can, see? So why not listen to each one and share? It's much better than keep thinking that I have always better advice.
Is it because of when one has the idea that one's advice or one's idea is better? Is it just because of strong clinging to self?
I think that it depends on accumulation to think that one has always good thinking, advice, or better than the others. Modesty, I think that... Is that word? Modesty?
Sometimes what we call modesty can also be another kind of mana. But
when it's real one, you don't consider yourself better, or you don't think that you always have better advice or better...
Less advice.
Just when you have advice and you think that if that person care or it really help, you might suggest that if one does like this, it would bring such and such a child. I don't know whether you have better advice or you have in your mind already to do this or that. Yeah.
Sometimes we're so keen to give our advice that we will interrupt someone else or raise our voice or... which only shows that it's really... It's not they're wanting to help the other person. It's really wanting to...
Attachment to
be known that we're good.
I think it's attachment to the idea of being the one who has the answer.
But are we not mixed all the time? So much mixed.
It doesn't mean there's no wholesomeness, but what predominates in that obvious situation is that it's mostly a selfish thing. We've got to get it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the time when we give advice, that aspect is present, but to a much less degree. So we shouldn't assume that just because we're giving some advice, motivated by wholesome mental states, like everything else we do, it's more unwholesome. It's unwholesome.
But it's really studying that moment, isn't it? Knowing what it is, isn't it? Isn't it the? There's times when I know that I'm thinking about something that is very mana. It's very obviously mana. It's going through your mind that you've done something. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about how you've done it.
Right.
And you've got praise
mana,
for it.
That's mana, for
and
sure.
And it's just clicking away in the brain. You know it's going on, and it's just this mana.
Mm.
But it's not like you have to stop it.
No.
Just
to know
it is
that's
just
what it
this
is.
This mana. Mm. And then there's other times when it's more subtle, and it's not so easy to catch it. But then, in a sense, if you could catch it and see it, then you'd know whether it's really the degree of mana or what it is.
When you say when it's more subtle, can you give an example?
When you're maybe giving advice, when you it's a bit more different when you're sitting there thinking, oh yeah, I did that well, or even if you think you can do something better.
One can see whether it's mana, even it's advice, whether it's the proper time and proper person. A proper moment, and then we know that it's very sincere and very, then it's good advice anyway. But if one always thinks that, oh, this is my advice to such and such situation and people, then it's wrong mana that has been accumulated unknowingly. So if one recognizes it, it can be benefit for that person that, oh, now even I have a good intention, but the other might consider it's strange, or it's like one is better than the other.
But if it's good intention, but it comes out to the wrong person at the wrong time, well, it's the wrong person at the wrong time, but then you can't say the kusala citta is any less kusala at that moment.
The moment of kusala is kusala, but the moment of mana is there too.